Today's reading is taken from the book of Joshua. Chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Thanks be to the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. Good to be here. As always on the Lord's Day, I always say it, but it's my favourite day. I thank our brother for the leading of the worship so far. The songs are powerful, powerful songs, and we give thanks to God for that. It's good to see everybody and just be a part of this family. This is our Christian home. This is where we belong. It's very important that we, you know, understand that. I want us to look in Joshua for a little time this morning. In this passage, we're just going to look at some examples. But I want to start in Joshua 6 and verse 20. So this is a bit out of order, how we're going to look at this passage. But I just want to, we already had a look at one passage back in Joshua 5. We're going to shift to Joshua chapter 6, where it says in verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." A little bit out of context, or a little bit out of order there. Of course, this is talking about the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho that come down by the power of God. They come down in such a way, in fact, even in the history, when they've done the historical examples and events to see how the walls fell outwards. You know, normally if you was attacking a wall and you was on that side, it would go the other way. But we see how here in this account, it talks about the fact that this wall needed to be removed. Now, this is my question to start the class this morning. I want to, or the lesson, the sermon this morning, is what walls surround this city? I'm talking about Leicester. What wall surrounds the city of Leicester, preventing us from access to the people? Also, what walls surround your lives? What is it that is affecting your life and creating a wall, and this wall is something that you do not seem to be able to get by? Now, what one of the things I've discovered in life, and you'll probably understand and discover it yourself, that Satan is a wall builder, and he's good at it. He will come into your life and he will build walls so high that you can't even scale them. The walls are so big and so wide and so expanse, because that is the trick that he uses, and he uses it in your life. He uses it in this congregation. He uses it in this city. You see, Satan battles in your life to create walls in your walls in your lives. You may be going through battles, you may be going through disputes, so you're in conflict with people in here. If you're in conflict with people in here, then you have a wall. And Satan has put a wall there, and that wall will hold you back. Do you thrive on conflict or the spreading of the word? Which of the two? Commitment. Are you committed? You see, the devil will put a barrier in your life to take away your commitment. He will stop you being committed to the ministry. He will stop you being committed to the body. He will stop you being committed to the ministry that we have here in this city. So that when the church gathers, are you there? When there's things being done, are you there? When there's work in the ministry in the fields, are you there? And the chances are that if you're not, it's because there's a barrier there. There's something in the way that's standing between you and God, that's standing between you and the ministry. And so, brethren, this isn't... I'm not being critical, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. I, as always, adapt the lessons for me as well. So that if I can't preach it and adapt it for me, I don't have a right to stand here and share it with you. And so I want you to understand that these are things, even in my life, that I have lacked, where the devil has come in and placed barriers in my way and stopped me progressing. He put barriers in my family. He put barriers through problems that my children had. He put barriers through all kinds of circumstances. And he will do the same for you. He will have things in your way. It could be financial. It could be your work. It could be your career. It could be any situation. But these things hinder the ministry. And this is the lesson that I want us to consider today. Because what I want this day to be, I want this to be the day that we pull down those things that are getting in the way and hindering ourselves as a congregation and you as an individual and me as a minister. The devil is busy. We got so much happening, haven't we? A lot of things going on. You've got a Bible school starting in a few months. Well, in weeks, really. And we'll be launching that. We've got a building, God willing. That's going through the process right now. There's a lot happening there. But all these things are just things in comparison to the fact that, listen, we have to be the workers. Do you feel in the presence of God daily? Do you lack spirituality, or is God on your mind 24 hours a day? Do you have a problem to get God out of your mind? He's there all the time. The minute you wake up, the minute you go to sleep, you just cannot shake him out of the air. Because he is who we are. And he is about what our life is about. Have you forgotten the good news? I remember a time when I did. I was so busy as a young man, as a young person, I was too busy. I remembered my God on the Lord's Day around the communion. And in the midweek Bible class, or when I was sitting in church singing my hymns. Well, the rest of the week I was busy. For me. That I forgot about my God and I forgot about the news. You see, the devil put a barrier in my way and I had to deal with that as a young man. I had to get rid of that barrier so that I could do the things that God wants me to do. If you are lacking spirituality, who are you going to blame? Whose fault is that? Is it the church's fault? Is it the preacher's fault? Is it your fellow brethren? Somebody's wronged me, so I'll just throw it all away. And so the thing is this, brethren. What we need to do is we need to see that we have a Jericho wall in our lives. And that Jericho wall surrounds you and it surrounds the church. And we need to smash it down. Our life is in a new kingdom and it's wonderful. We are in the body of Christ. We have an eternity with our God. But we have to walk this path. We have to walk this journey. We have to live this life together. And we need to see the examples that will help us to pull down these things in our lives. What I love about our wise God is that he puts what we need in the scriptures. When you need something, it's here. That's how wise he is. I always say that if they're in the scriptures, God wants them there. We need to see examples. That's why Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. In other words, the past things, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. We'll learn from the experiences and from the records that have been written. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, or for our advice and information. And you could, in some of the translations, it was cautionary advice, upon whom the ends of the worlds are to come. So God in his wisdom gave advice for us how to knock down walls in our lives. How to knock them down. The fact that these passages are there tell me that God knows that these problems exist. They exist. What do? We ignore them. Oh, the amount of times I've had barriers in my life and I've just ignored them. I don't deal with them. I didn't deal with them. Carry on as if it doesn't matter. But really, you're not functioning as a Christian because you cannot do the ministry. You cannot carry out these tasks because these barriers are there. Satan blocks access to the development of even this congregation. You know that? He will block the access to the development of this congregation because he is a very cunning devil. Very cunning. You know, whenever things are starting to move in the ministry, he will be there looking to mess them up. And you see, what we do is we say, okay, then the devil stuck a wall there. Well, we'll smash it down. We're going to smash it down. No devil is going to get into this congregation. And so, though Satan blocks access, what we have to do is take note and look out for these times and deal with them. Now, in the book of Joshua, there is an example that we see of the wall of Jericho. Now, I want you to note, Joshua was given charge and command of a nation of Israel. He was to lead the nation into Canaan. And he was to conquer the promised land. And how could he accomplish this? Who was the one that was going to build every wall and put it in the way? It says that, this is important, it says that Joshua dwelled in the presence of the Lord and with Moses. You want to know how to accomplish anything, it's where you dwell. Where is your dwelling place? Who do you dwell in the presence of? Do you dwell in the presence of your job? So tomorrow it's just my job, my work. We heard Brother Gary this morning talking, goes to Bermuda. What's he doing in Bermuda? Talking of God's kingdom. Every opportunity that we have in our lives is an opportunity to spread the word. You imagine, brethren, if everybody in this room was spreading the word, was telling people about Jesus. You come and listen to the message. Come and listen to the gospel. You see, we have to dwell in the presence of God, but we dwell in the presence of our jobs. We dwell in the presence of our bank accounts. In other words, our bank accounts get between us and God. Because our mindset goes, we're in the wrong place. Sometimes our culture and traditions can get in the way. Even myself, through my own upbringing, you know, there was many traditions that we had in our congregation that we grew up with, and we always thought that was sound, and that's how it was. And a time came when I had to realise that that wasn't the case, because as you begin to study the Bible, you begin to see these things aren't right. And so you have to change them. But sometimes what happens is, you see, that becomes a wall that Satan builds. What we have to do is take it down. We have to take it down. You see, sometimes, do you know what we see or what we dwell in? We dwell in ourselves. We just spend our life looking in the mirror at ourselves. What I want, what I need, where I want to be, what I want to do, how big my house is going to be. All those things are the things that we dwell in the presence of. If this is the case, you do not dwell in the presence of the Lord. Well, Joshua did. Joshua did. You see, we need to dwell in his presence, our great God, but often we dwell in the presence of ourselves. We dwell, you know, it's our home where we live and belong. You know, we look at this life that we have, and all people see is they just see you no different to them. What we have to do is we have to dwell in the presence of the Lord so people know who you are, so people know who you represent. We live and belong, and people will know. Do you know, I always say people will know our Christian accent. Do you know Christianity has an accent? It has a certain sound. It's a wonderful thing, that agaping love, that unconditional caring love. Now in Joshua 5 verse 13, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked up, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And listen to this. And Joshua did so. That's what he did. Do you see the presence of God in your life? Do you see the presence of God each step of your day? When you wake up in the morning, is God before you? When you go through your activities through the day, my mother always told me as a child growing up, she said, I don't need to keep an eye on you. She says, wherever you are, God will be there and he will see everything. There's not one thing that we can keep from our loving God. We need to see his presence. He's our holy God. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Have you ever prayed that prayer? You ever prayed that prayer? Hey, Lord, what do you need of me? How can I serve you? How can I serve you, my God? Have you ever fell before your holy God? Have you asked of how you can serve your master? But we're too busy serving ourselves. So busy we can't even see him before us. You remember Jesus on the earth? And they were looking for a physical king. That's what everybody was looking for. That's what the Israelites were looking for. They were looking for this physical king. And they see Jesus standing before them and they mock him and insult him. And he teaches and preaches the gospel. And they cannot even see the Son of God standing right before them. They knew the passages. They knew the teaching. They knew the scripture. The Son of God was right in front of them and they couldn't even see him. And what I say is this, brethren. If we are not careful, we will fail to see him. He will show up in unusual places, in situations, in circumstances. We may find ourselves in a dilemma or with a problem, and he'll be there in our presence. Now, do we see him? If we allow these things to get in the way and we don't even recognize and see him, we have a wall. How do we take it down? We do what Joshua did. We see God. We see our Savior. We see our Lord. You see, we need to recognize our holy God and we need to be humble before him. Have you ever been so humble in prayer? Almost on your knees as you consider the sin in your life and the things that are going on, but we're too busy serving ourselves, so busy we can't even see him before us. We don't even observe the basics. Our holy God is in our presence and we don't see him or acknowledge him. shabby, passive, unfitting worship. And what we have to do is we have to change the way that we live in order for these walls and barriers to come down. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6 through 7, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. But we don't do that. You see, that is the wall that Satan gets. All these burdens, all these problems, and Satan says, you're going to have to deal with them. God's not going to take care of that. You're going to have to deal with them yourselves. We lose sight of God. And we have to humble ourselves before him and his mighty hand, and recognize that mighty hand that he has, that he may exalt you in due course, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He'll deceive you and get in the way and prevent you from seeing him. You see, the lesson that was learned by Joshua was that he was a person who was going to be in the presence of God and recognize that presence before him. In chapter 6, verse 2, it says, verse 5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. This promise the Lord gave to Joshua. What about the promise the Lord gave to you? You see, Joshua received a promise from his Lord. He recognized his presence. He humbled himself before him. He fell down and worshipped him. He was told to remove his sandals, and he removed them. And he lays down. And here we see that he acts upon the promises that his Lord, who he respects and appreciates and understands, he casts all his cares upon him. This promise the Lord gave to Joshua was enough for him to be able to conquer and overcome those walls. Now, what about the promise that the Lord has given to you and to me? In chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, the promise God gave to Joshua would be only be fulfilled if they followed and obeyed the word of God. In other words, God had put things in order. God says, we'll deal with these walls. We'll deal with that wall of Jericho, but there's going to be a process. He says, I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. The priest will blow the horns, the people will shout, and the wall will fall. That was the facts that were given to him. And they carried that out. You see, the question is this. Are we willing to be obedient to God? Do we recognize his presence? Do we realize who he is? Do we understand the importance and significance of him in your life? Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to observe the things that he is giving to you? Now, I want you to notice something else in this passage. God is a God of order. God is a God of order. He didn't say do it your way. He didn't even say just walk around it 6 days and on the seventh walk around 7 times and blow your nose. He said, listen, the procession was to be led by men of war, followed by 7 priests. Bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, followed by the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, he had an order of how things were to be done. I want you to take note that it wasn't a free-for-all for that wall of Jericho to fall, and it's not going to be a free-for-all for us to get our walls to come down. To get the walls down in our life, to get the walls down in this congregation, to get the walls down around the city, what we have to do is we have to follow his order. And we have to examine that. God commanded order for his people to hear and observe. You will never find a time in the Bible where God did not put order in place. And so too with the church today. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." That is his way. And often, that you know, when we have these problems in our life, it's because we don't allow his order to be in place. We want to do it our way. And it doesn't always work. And so this verse actually is part of a rebuke to the Corinthian church. And their worship was out of control. It was chaotic and even offensive to unbelievers. And so that was why the Apostle Paul wrote the letter. But it clearly stipulates the importance of how God views order. The book of 1 Corinthians is in part a letter outlining proper conduct in the worship of God. There's a way to worship God. And Paul bases the command for order in the church on the fact that God himself is a God of order and not of chaos. And when we allow that to be applied in our lives, these walls will fall. So Satan builds walls by creating chaos in the house of God. In the 35 or I don't know how many years now I've been in the ministry, and going way back in Yorkshire, and we lived in Northampton working with the church and studying there, and we was working with churches up in Yorkshire growing up, seeing every problem that came along was nearly always to do with chaos in the house of God. Disruption, lack of understanding, lack of learning, lack of teaching. So what we need is we need to learn, and we need to grow and mature through that learning. That is what will bring walls and barriers down. Christ Church holds a structure that he has set in place, penned by the Holy Spirit through the hands of men. And this is the inspired word of God that instructs and guides and helps. And the structure of the church is not a free-for-all. And unless we adhere to his commands, we will not grow. And so these become walls and barriers again. And I've seen over the years, throughout my ministry, I've seen so many things with relation to that. And I'm certain that others in the room of the same. And so the promise will only be fulfilled through obedience. And so we have to be obedient as Christians. And I always use the example, I've used it before, but it was one that I was always told as a child. You know, life is like, I mentioned it in class the other night. My grandfather had one of the first cars in the town. In the town that we lived in Loughborough, but it was an old-fashioned car, real old car. And every single day, before he could start it, he had to tune it up. Every day. Not like these cars there, you just get in them and go. Every day he had to go out and he had to make a few alterations and adjustments, and then he could fire it up and drive it. And then when he stopped at the end of the day, it would have all knocked back out of sync again. And then the following morning, he'd get up and he'd go out with his screwdriver and he'd lift one of those side bonnet things up and he'd make a few adjustments. And he always used that as an example, like our Christian life. Brethren, adjust your life. Make the alterations that are required to help you to grow. Make these changes in your life. The walls of Jericho fell through obedience. Now John 15 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light," it's a beautiful passage, "as he is in the light, we have" what? "Fellowship with one another." Because we have everything in common, brethren, and we have everything together. So Joshua 6 verse 8 says, "So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced. They blew the trumpets and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them." The ark, so they're doing everything according to what God had asked. "The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall your word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. You see, what Joshua did was, Joshua had spoken to the people and they listened. They listened. One of the things I always struggled with as a young man was listening to the preacher or teachers, especially my parents, you know. They would give me sound biblical advice and guidance, but I didn't necessarily want to listen. And so things never worked out till I started to listen and take things in and adapt. And so here we see Joshua giving the order, giving the system that God had put in place. And when he had spoken to the people, they listened and acted accordingly, and consequently through that it's called obedience, the warfare. Brethren, I want to encourage you today. You know, whatever walls are in your life, whatever barriers that the devil has put there, you can pull them down. You can do it. God's provided the means. See him in your presence. See him at your side. Understand that he's a God who loves and cares for you. He wants to tear them walls down, but he needs us to be obedient to him in order for that to take place. You know, my prayer for this congregation, and I've said this before, and this is the truth, that I pray for every member of this congregation by name. By name. So when I pray for this congregation, I don't just pray generically for the men and women and the brothers and sisters. I mention everybody by name. And I do that for a reason. Because this is my family. And you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to understand that you understand the importance you play in this congregation. Because each person here is a blessing from God. We prayed for leaders, and they're coming. We prayed for strong sisters and brothers, and they're coming. But what we need to do is we need to unite now. You know, we need to unite. We need to study. We need to learn. We need to grow. We need to mature. We need to progress. Because we have got one whopping city out there. And this is just the start. You know, we're buying a building now. We want about 20 buildings if we're going to accommodate all the people in this city and more. And so let us focus in-house. I always say, you know, when you're looking to do something outside, you've got to figure out the inside first. And so let us come together. Let us unite together. Let us be strong. Look out for each other. Listen, there's people who aren't here today. Do you know who they are? I will know who they are. Do you know who they are? There are people missing. So, everybody, contact. We have widows in our congregation, brethren. We have quite Sister Laverne, Sister Christine, you know, Sister Elizabeth. You know, we have widows in our congregation. And they need this church to support them and encourage them. Let us be strong. Let's not let the devil get in here and disrupt what we're doing. Let us work together, take down them walls, and make a difference for the kingdom of God. I pray that God will bless you, and we're going to have an invitation.
Amen.
Thank you, Dave.